Hi, Shavua Tov. This is Yisachar Wartel. I do apologize. I'm slightly under the weather, but I'll do my best. Let me just get ready. So this week's Parsha is Parsha Chayisara, one of many intriguing story-filled Parshiot in Sefer Bereshit. So at the beginning of this week's parsha, we read about the death of Sarah Imenu, Avraham's wife. And obviously, it must have been very incredibly painful to Avraham, but he made sure that all the preparations, regarding her death, her burial, all stuff like that, were all about her and not about him. He did everything to make sure that she had not only a proper burial, but specifically it was going to be in the Maariv HaMachpelah, where Adam and Chava were buried. And it's immediately after this that the Torah writes, the Avraham, Zaken Baba Yamim, Bahashem Berachet Avraham Bakol. So, and Avraham was, getting older in days, or coming of age, as you want to call it that, but getting older in age, and Hashem had blessed Avraham with everything. So, what does it mean, Bakol, with everything? Many, many commentaries talk about this, but Rashi writes that Bakol was equal to the Gematria of Ben, which means son. Avraham was blessed with everything means that he was blessed with the son, which somewhat perplexing, because he just lost his other half. He just left Sarah, right? He had a son, meaning Yitzchak, but basically the point is he had a Yitzchak, and he had a son who was going to carry on his legacy. But how could the Torah state that he had Bakol, he had everything? Like, what do you mean he had everything? He just lost his everything. I mean, yes, he had his legacy, he had his son Yitzchak, who was everything to him, but he also had his wife, who was everything to him. He just lost her, the other half was the Shama. So how can you say he had everything? So there are two ways to answer this. First, perhaps you could say that since Sarah was now gone, now that everything I had Abraham that had left for was his son, right? His everything at first was Sarah and Yitzchak, his son. But now that Sarah was unfortunately gone, now Rashi is saying that his everything is specifically his son Yitzchak. Or alternatively, you could say that Abraham had everything. Hashem barach et Abraham bakol. He had blessed Abraham with everything. But now he didn't quite have everything. He had just lost his beautiful wife. He passed an incredibly difficult set of tasks, and now, unfortunately, his age was catching up with him. The only thing he truly had left, and the main thing to live for, was the legacy, which was to be passed on through his son Yitzchak. Therefore, his son was literally as important as everything left in his entire life, and everything. The whole reason he was in existence was to carry this legacy and to create Klal Yisrael. It was a time for now to focus, to shift from Abraham to Yitzchak, and Abraham realized this. Abraham had everything, and now it was time to see that Yitzchak would have everything. The most crucial piece now was for Yitzchak to find his everything, which was to find his wife, and that's what happened next. Eliezer is sent out by Abraham to find the wife for Yitzchak, and Eliezer takes his mitzvah to heart as if he were his own son. He prays to Hashem intensely that a specific sign will take place, indicating for it to be a heavenly match for his master's son. And his faith is so strong, it's astounding. How could he be sure that Hashem would heed his request for a sign? It's true emunah, and it's a lesson for us. It is likely that Eliezer did not actually know if Hashem would show him the sign, but he knew that Hashem would listen, right? And that was enough for him. If the sign would not occur, then this was not the right place to find the wife for Yitzchak. And sure enough, immediately as he finished, it did turn out that his prayers were answered. A young woman named Rivka appeared. It says, Vehine Rivka. Which the words Vihine Rivka are the equal in gematria to Hakafel or Hakefel or Yitzchak, the match or the double to Yitzchak, right? She was destined to be the match partner of Yitzchak, and it became apparent quickly. In Parsha Perek Chavdal Pasuk Tetzayin, she's described as Vahanara Tovat Mareh Meot, and the young woman was exceedingly good in appearance. And the Pasuk doesn't use the term Yafat Mareh, right, which means beautiful in appearance, which is actually often associated with negative circumstances, such as by the Eshet Yafat Tor, or more specifically, also when Sarah was kidnapped by either Paro or Avimelech, or perhaps both. So rather, the Pasuk states that Rivka was Tovat Maret, good in appearance, right? Not that she was beautiful in appearance. It wasn't a comment. She probably was, very, physically beautiful, but it was a comment on her character, primarily. Tovat Maret. She was beautiful on the inside and the outside. There was something about her that emanated righteousness and proper character, and she was not just good in appearance, but exceedingly good in appearance. right? Not pretty, but good, meaning that there was an essence, an aura around her about her amazing pureness and righteousness. She appeared bekada al shechma, with her jug on her shoulder, which is equivalent, the word is equivalent to pru uravu, be fruitful and multiply. Just as Rivka was up to the task of drawing and carrying a heavy but necessary jug of water, so too she symbolically was up to the task of carrying and bearing the children for the life of the Jewish nation, which is symbolized by water, right? And actually, for the parsha that I'm going to be sending out this week, it actually involves Esav as well as Yaakov, but that's not for now. Furthermore, the pasuk continues to say that Rivka was a betula who had never known a man, and the word betula can either mean a young woman or a virgin. We know she was a young woman because the word Na'ara says so, and if she had never known a man, then she was surely a virgin, so it's superfluous. The Gemara talks about it as well. But what else could this term of betula come to add? It teaches she was a virgin to idolatrous and immoral practices. Despite the corruption of those around her, she remained pure and untainted. It's possible that that's what the Gemara says. I do not recall. I believe it was in Zechik Suvis, but I can't remember offhand. When Eliezer first sees Rivka coming down to the spring, not a well, mind you, we often say well, it's actually a ma'ayan, which is a spring, or ayin, I believe, it's a spring. The pasuk continues, "Vatered ha'ena, v'timolei keda v'ta'al." She went down to the spring, and she filled up her jug, and she went up. Why does it need to say, and she went up? I mean, she's not going to stay down forever to get the water. She obviously is going to come up. So looking at the word for spring, which we know, which is the same root as ayin, right? In fact, it is the word ayin, which means eye. Therefore, we may be able to reinterpret the pasuk as follows. It might be hinting, but she read Eineha, but and she lowered her eyes, and she filled up her jug, and then she came up. Rivka was very modest, and she did not know who would be at the well. She did not look to socialize, but do what she came to do, which was to get water for her family. Only after she finished her task, she arose to see the strange man running towards her, which was Eliezer. Presumably, she was able to sense who he was, perhaps more than he would perceive her. Rivka knew that she was destined to be Yitzchak's wife. Not only would Rivka be Yitzchak's wife, but she would be his only counterpart. Unlike the other Avot, Yitzchak only had one wife. All of Yitzchak's children would come through her. And it's further apparent when Rivka's family gives her bracha, as it says, "Et hayai alfei ravava, you will be the mother of the myriads that are destined to come from Yitzchak, you and you alone." Eliezer and Rivka's story is quite a remarkable one, and Eliezer spares no detail when trying to convince Rivka's family. They hardly accept the proposal and then seem to have reservations. But after speaking with Rivka's family, the decision of whether to follow Eliezer was ultimately put in Rivka's hands, and unwaveringly she consented. She knew her home was no place for a betula, right, meaning that this righteous person, and that her true place was Avram and her son, and his son, which was her future husband, and she understood this from Hashem, and she had no doubt in her mind that it was meant to be. So we see that Eliezer's emuna ultimately showed forth in her amunah. When she's returning home, Yitzchak raises his eyes and sees camels coming in the distance. Rivka then raises her eyes, which is where the magic, so to speak, happens. But he saw Rivka at Eineha, but he saw Yitzchak. She raised her eyes and she saw Yitzchak. Before, when she was approaching well, she lowered her eyes due to uncertainty. But this time, there was no uncertainty. She raised her eyes and she saw that this man was Yitzchak. She could already sense who he was. In fact, the wording of the pasuk suggests that she did not merely descend from her camel to bow, but she fell off of it. She was so astounded, and she asked Eliezer, "Who is this man or who's approaching?" She knew it was Yitzchak, but could not fathom this level of kedusha and connection that she felt. She asked Eliezer who this man is, and he says, "Hu Adoni, he is my master." But was not Abraham actually his master? Why didn't he say he's my master's son? So we see the respect and understanding that Eliezer had. He didn't want to be embarrassing and therefore treated Yitzchak with great respect. And Rivka acknowledges this immediately and therefore covers herself in modesty. When the two of them are introduced, Yitzchak also has no doubts that this is his Bishar, that Rivka is his Bishar, and he graciously accepts Hashem's plan. So when Yitzchak takes Rivka in to be his wife, Rivka literally and figuratively rekindles the spark that extinguished when Sarai Aminu died. And Yitzchak is now comforted. And the Midrash describes that Rivka revived the miracle of the Shabbos candlestick of Galil all week. Rivka is described as Tovat Marem Me'od, and this phrase, exceedingly beautiful, exceedingly good in appearance, I should say. And that word, those words, Tovat Marem Me'od, are numerically equal to the word Shabbos, Shabbat, 702. Just as Shabbat completes the week and gives it meaning, so too Rivka has completed Yitzchak, and he is now able to fulfill his perfect purpose of fathering the next stage of the Jewish nation, and the legacy that he was meant to fulfill. We should all strive not for perfection, but for completion. And may we all find our loved ones to complete our neshama and to allow us to fulfill what we were put in this world to do. For one who is complete, in a sense, truly does have everything. Shabbat Shalom.